You know that feeling when you bring in like a high-priced, world-class consultant to solve a problem?
Oh, yeah, the one who supposedly knows everything.
Exactly. They are brilliant, top of their field. They know the industry inside out. But the second you ask them a really specific question about your company's internal operations, they stare at you blankly.
Right?
And then they end up giving you this generic advice that sounds like they just read a Wikipedia page, simply because, they haven't seen your internal spreadsheets or your employee handbook.
Which is incredibly frustrating.
It really is. And that is exactly the frustration businesses are hitting in 2026 when deploying artificial intelligence. You boot up a massive state-of-the-art language model, and you ask it to summarize a client contract or, say, explain an internal workflow, and it suddenly turns into a guessing machine.
Yeah, and it happens because general purpose models hit a hard architectural wall. I mean, no matter how many trillions of parameters they have, they suffer from a knowledge cutoff date.
Right.
And more importantly, they are completely walled off from your proprietary environment. They just don't have access to your private SharePoint files or your internal HR policies or your secure Salesforce records.
Which is a good thing for security, but bad for getting answers.
Exactly. So when forced to answer without that context, the model relies on its statistical training, which inevitably leads to confident, highly articulate hallucinations. It just makes things up.
It sounds so smart while being so wrong. And that is the mission of today's deep dive. We are tearing into a comprehensive 2026 architectural guide from Technigen.
The AI development team based down in Southern California.
Yep, that's them. They are operating right on the front lines of getting AI to actually understand proprietary business data and, more importantly, doing it securely.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have this massive gap between general intelligence and private knowledge.
And the guide centers the entire solution around an architectural pattern called retrieval augmented generation, or R.
REG, which is a terrible acronym, but we'll go with it. It really is.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating here is that Quarog isn't the new AI model. The guide is very clear that enterprises do not need to spend millions of dollars training a neural network from scratch.
Oh, thank goodness.
Right. REG is an architectural framework that bridges the gap. It connects existing off-the-shelf language models like your GPT-4 or Claude to your internal databases in real time.
Okay.
It forces the AI to execute a search, retrieve the specific information from your private files, and then use only that retrieved text to generate its answer.
So going back to that world-class consultant analogy from earlier, if the AI is the consultant who knows the broader world but hasn't read our specific employee handbook, REG is like the highly organized assistant.
I like that comparison.
Yeah, the assistant who sprints into the filing room, finds the exact page of the handbook we are talking about, and shoves it into the consultant's hands right before they open their mouth.
That is a perfect way to look at it. And the efficiency of that assistant determines the success of the entire system. Technigen's architecture guide breaks this down into an engine room consisting of three core components.
Let's get into the engine room then.
First up is the document store, which utilizes a vector database. You'll see teams using tools like Pinecone, Weavy8, Chroma, or PG Vector in PostgreSQL to handle this.
Wait, if it's just searching for words, isn't that just a glorified control F search? Like, why do we need a fancy vector database?
Well, because it's looking for semantic similarity, not just exact keyword matches. That's the second component, the retrieval layer.
Okay, semantic meaning.
Right. So if you search for letting someone go, a vector database maps that mathematically to documents about employee termination, even if
Yeah.
the words don't match at all.
Ah, I saw.
But the Technigen guide makes a really surprising point here. They argue that vector search alone actually fails in complex enterprise settings.
Really? Why are they dragging old school keyword search back into the mix for a 2026 AI deployment?
Because enterprise data is messy, it's hyper-specific. So the guide insists on a hybrid retrieval approach. They mandate combining that dense vector search, which captures the semantic concept, with sparse BM25 keyword search.
BM25.
Yeah, BM25 isn't just a basic control F function. It's an algorithm that scores documents based on how rare your keyword is across the entire database.
So it's looking for the unique
It
identifiers.
prioritizes them heavily, yeah.
Yeah.
If you are searching for a very specific, weirdly spelled product serial number, like XR772B,
Right, a specific part.
semantic search might get confused and just return generic product manuals because the underlying meaning is similar to other things. But BM25 knows that XR772B only appears in, say, 3 out of 1 million documents, and it zeroes in on them instantly.
Wow.
The source notes that marrying these two approaches, the conceptual net and the exact keyword laser, improves retrieval accuracy by 15% to 25% over just using vector search alone.
That makes a lot of sense. You need the AI to recognize the conceptual haystack, but also have the tools to pinpoint the exact needle.
Exactly. And the guide also details some pre-retrieval optimizations here to cast a better net, specifically something called HIDE hypothetical document embeddings.
Okay, looking at how HIDE operates, I have to push back a little here.
Go for it.
So HIDE asks the language model to write a fake hypothetical answer to the user's question, and then uses that fake answer to search the database for real documents. Doesn't that just bake hallucinations into the very first step of the process? I mean, if the AI's hypothetical answer is wrong, aren't we retrieving the wrong files?
It completely sounds counterintuitive,
okay.
I know. But it works brilliantly because of how high-dimensional vector space operates.
How so?
Well, when a user types a short, poorly phrased question like, how do I do the travel thing, that short string of text lacks semantic density.
It's too vague.
Right. If you convert that directly into a vector, it might not land anywhere near your heavily detailed 5-page travel reimbursement policy. But by having the LLM generate a hypothetical response, even if it contains factual errors, it generates a dense paragraph full of relevant vocabulary.
Oh, like words such as per diem or receipts and approval workflows.
Exactly. The hypothetical answer acts as a semantic bridge. It drags the search query closer to the right neighborhood in the database.
Ah, I see. It uses the AI's structural intuition to find the right semantic cluster.
Yep. You pair that with multi-query retrieval, where the system automatically rewrites the user's question 5 different ways behind the scenes, and you ensure the retrieval layer actually finds the relevant data.
Okay, so that covers the searching.
Right. And once we have those specific document chunks, we move to the final component, the generation layer.
Right. So we've brainstormed the best way to search, and we've pulled the most relevant files. But if we just dump 50 pages of raw text onto the AI's lap, it's going to get confused. This is where prompt engineering comes in, right? To build guardrails for that genius consultant.
You got it. The system dynamically constructs a highly structured prompt. It feeds the LLM the retrieved chunks and provides strict instructional framing. Like, you are an assistant. Answer the user's question using only the following documents. Do not use your pre-trained knowledge.
That's a very firm directive.
It has to be. The engineering at this layer dictates whether the system maintains proper confidence levels. If the answer simply isn't in those retrieved documents, the prompt must force the AI to admit, I do not know based on the provided context.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Understanding that engine room, the vector store, the hybrid retrieval, the generation prompt, that's just the baseline.
Yeah, that's just the starting line.
Right. The Technigian guide lays out a clear evolution of how you actually wire these pieces together, and it serves as a roadmap of what enterprises need to avoid. They start by calling out naive RAG, which they explicitly say should never be used in production.
Naive RAG is the single straight plumbing pipe that everyone built back in 2023 and 2024. You ask a question, it fetches a document, it hands it to the LLM. It is incredibly fragile.
I can imagine it completely falling apart if you ask it to do any complex reasoning. Like if you ask it a multi-hop question, say, does our 2024 vendor contract cover the new software mentioned in the 2026 amendment?
Yeah, I'm a struggle.
A straight pipe just grabs whatever document has the most matching words, hands it over, and hopes for the best.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the failure of naive RAG to handle multi-hop reasoning is exactly why enterprise adoption stalled early on.
Which leads to the next step.
Right, what the guide calls advanced RAG.
Yeah.
This introduces post-retrieval processing. Before the LLM ever sees the documents, a completely separate specialized model acts as a judge to re-rank the retrieved files.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it filters out the noise and orders them by strict relevance.
Right.
It basically acts as a pressure regulator on that plumbing pipe.
And from there, the current state of the art for production is what they call modular RAG, which, you know, makes sense given how insanely fast AI is moving right now. If you're managing an IT budget listening to this, the idea of hard coding your entire system to one specific model is a massive risk.
Huge risk.
So modular RAG treats every piece of the pipeline like a swappable Lego block.
It future-proofs the investment. Teams like Technigian design these architectures so that if a revolutionary new embedding model drops next month, or say if you need to swap out an OpenAI model for an open source alternative due to compliance changes, You can do that.
Without tearing the whole thing down.
Right. You pull out that specific module without rebuilding the entire data pipeline.
But the guide doesn't stop at modular RAG. It pushes into the emerging pattern for 2026, which shifts the paradigm entirely. Agentic RAG.
This is the really exciting stuff.
In this setup, we aren't just handing the consultant a specific page from the handbook. We are giving the consultant the keys to the file room and telling them to figure it out themselves.
The language model stops waiting at the end of the pipeline to simply summarize. It becomes an autonomous reasoning engine. Agentic ARG utilizes a loop of planning and acting.
So it's thinking on its own.
Yeah. The AI receives a complex query, analyzes it, and autonomously decides which retrieval tools it needs to use.
So if I ask it to compare our Q3 internal revenue against a competitor's public earnings, it doesn't just do one big search.
Not at all. It breaks the task down. The agent writes an internal thought. First, I need our internal Q3 revenue. I will use the SQL database retrieval tool.
Now.
It executes that, observes the result, and then thinks, now I need the competitor's data. I will use the external web search tool. It gathers that, observes the result, and loops back to synthesize the final answer. It is multi-step autonomous information gathering.
That is incredibly powerful for complex workflows. But I have to say, if you're deploying this to your entire 500-person company, the idea of an autonomous AI agent hunting through your network is a massive security red flag.
It definitely sounds like one.
Right. Because if I'm a mid-level sales rep, what's stopping me from logging into the shiny new agentic RAG system and asking, hey, what is the CEO's executive compensation? Or show me the performance improvement plans for everyone on my team.
And that brings us to the most critical mandate in the entire architectural guide. Security and access controls cannot be treated as an application layer afterthought.
Okay, explain that.
If you try to enforce security at the chatbot level by simply prompting the LLM with, do not answer questions about executive salaries, you will fail.
Because someone will just find a workaround.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Enterprising users will eventually jailbreak that prompt. The guide dictates that access control must be hard-coded at the vector database layer using metadata filtering.
Okay, so the filtering happens before the AI even gets out of its chair.
It happens before the search even executes. When your company documents are initially converted into vectors, they are tagged with metadata defining who holds the viewing permissions.
God.
When your mid-level sales rep asks that question, the vector database instantly filters out any mathematical vectors tagged executive only or HR confidential.
So the AI literally can't see them.
Exactly.
Mm.
The language model cannot hallucinate the salary data, nor can it be tricked into revealing it, because those documents literally do not exist in the universe of data it is allowed to search.
Okay, that handles the internal snooping perfectly. But what about the other massive enterprise fear? The system just making things up. Even with the best retrieval, what if the AI misinterprets a dense legal policy? You can't just cross your fingers and trust the output in a production environment.
No, you definitely can't. The architecture demands explicit hallucination mitigation through mathematical scoring.
Mathematical scoring.
Yeah, the guide details two non-negotiable metrics, faithfulness scoring and relevance scoring. This often involves using a smaller secondary LLM as a judge.
A judge model.
Right.
Yeah.
Relevant scoring asks the judge, did the retrieval layer actually find documents that address the user's prompt? And faithfulness scoring asks, can every single sentence in the generated answer be directly attributed to the retrieved context?
It's literally forcing the system to grade its own homework line by line. And if the judge model detects that the primary model injected an outside assumption, it flags it.
Yep. It assigns a confidence score. If either faithfulness or relevance drops below a strict threshold, the system flags the response for human review rather than silently serving a potentially hallucinated answer to a user.
That is such a crucial safety net.
It ties into the guide's insistence on deep observability. Every query, the retrieved chunks, the generated response, and the user's feedback must be logged. You have to mathematically identify failure modes before they scale.
Makes total sense.
This raises an important question, though. We keep talking about retrieving chunks of documents. But if we are feeding the AI these massive context windows, how do we fit a 200-page compliance PDF into the system in the first place? The strategy behind how you prepare that data is incredibly delicate.
And the guide spends a significant amount of time on this chunking strategy. The AI has token limits, right? It can only hold so much text in its working memory at once. You have to chop the document up into pieces.
I do.
But the text warns heavily against amateur implementations that rely on naive, fixed-size chunking.
because fixed size chunking is essentially taking a meat cleaver to your data. It tells the system to simply split the document every, say, 500 tokens, regardless of what the text actually says.
Which sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It is. You end up chopping a crucial paragraph right in half.
Mm.
The premise of the policy is in chunk A, and the legal exception to that policy is in chunk B.
Oh, no.
When the AI retrieves only chunk A, it loses the semantic coherence completely.
Right. To fix that, the guide dictates using semantic chunking. This is where the system actually calculates where one thought ends and another begins. Right?
Exactly. It looks at the sentence embeddings and calculates the cosine similarity between adjacent sentences.
That sounds complicated.
A little. But basically, when the mathematical similarity drops, it knows the topic has shifted and it creates a natural break.
Okay, that's smart.
The guide also highlights hierarchical chunking for those massive 200-page PDFs. The system keeps a high-level summary of a whole chapter and mathematically links that summary to the specific detailed paragraphs underneath it.
Nice.
That way the AI can understand the broad context before diving into the granular details.
Mm.
They even note late chunking capabilities in the newest embedding models, which preserve document-level meaning across smaller chunks.
So we've mapped out a massive technological leap here. We've moved from clueless, isolated LLMs to a secure engine room built on hybrid retrieval and BM25 scoring. We've seen the evolution from a fragile straight pipe to an agentic AI that loops through its own reasoning.
We really have.
We've locked the entire thing down with metadata filtering at the database level, and we've preserved the meaning of our documents using semantic chunking boundaries. But bringing this out of theory, who is actually trusting this in the real world in 2026?
Well, the guide details Technician's actual footprint across Los Angeles and Orange County, and the use cases show a really high level of enterprise trust.
Who is using it?
Legal teams are deploying these systems as contract analysis tools, feeding hundreds of agreements in to instantly retrieve specific liability clauses.
That alone saves hundreds of hours.
Oh, absolutely. Human resources departments are running internal knowledge-based assistants that handle complex benefits Q&A without hallucinating policy exceptions.
They also point to regulatory compliance Q&A for healthcare and financial services, which honestly is arguably the highest stakes environment you could pick. If your AI gives a wrong answer on financial compliance, the regulatory fines could be devastating.
Exactly.
They are also building customer-facing support bots that are strictly grounded in product documentation and sales enablement tools that gather competitive intelligence for reps right before a pitch.
And to execute those high-stakes deployments, Technigene utilizes a rigid implementation pipeline.
Right. They don't just wing it.
No. It never starts with the AI. It starts with data discovery. They audit the enterprise's existing data lakes and map out the necessary access control metadata.
That makes sense.
Then they move to architecture design, selecting the optimal combination of vector databases and LLM modules to fit the specific latency and security requirements.
Then you get to pipeline development, actually wiring the hybrid retrieval and the agentic loops.
Right.
But before anything goes live, they deploy evaluation frameworks. The guide specifically mentions utilizing frameworks like RGAS, which stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation Assessment.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that's where you run those faithfulness and relevance scores across thousands of test questions to mathematically prove the system works before it ever faces a client.
And once the evaluation proves out, they move to production deployment on cloud infrastructure like Azure, AWS, or Google Cloud.
With the deep observability logs we discussed earlier.
Exactly. Finally, they set up an ongoing optimization cycle to tweak the embedding models and update the chunking strategies as the enterprise data evolves.
So what does this all mean? It means the era of treating general purpose AI as a magic bullet for business is over. If you want the AI to be a true expert on your operations, you have to bring the AI to your data securely and systematically.
Absolutely.
If you are listening to this and wondering how to audit your own data or build this kind of modular architecture, the source explicitly mentions you can book a free AI strategy session with their engineers at technigene.com/NIA solutions.
Building a modular, secure RAG architecture is no longer just an experimental project. It is a foundational requirement for any organization planning to leverage AI effectively over the next decade.
Let's quickly recap the journey. We started with the frustrating reality of AI models hallucinating because they lacked context.
Right.
We explored how RAG acts as the bridge, utilizing vector databases alongside BM25 keyword search to find the exact needle in the semantic haystack. We tracked the evolution from fragile, naive setups to the robust, swappable Lego blocks of modular RAG, and finally into the autonomous reasoning loops of agentic RAG.
And we saw how implementing metadata access controls and semantic chunking keeps the entire operation secure and accurate.
It's an incredible shift.
It is. And as we look at the reality of those autonomous agentic ORG systems, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over.
Okay, let's hear it.
We've established that by 2026, these systems are effectively navigating complex proprietary databases, reasoning through multi-step problems, and gathering information autonomously for their human users.
Right.
But what happens when your company's agentic ORG system is deployed to negotiate a vendor contract, and it has to interface directly with that vendor's agentic ORG system?
Oh, wow.
Who is really making the business decisions when two autonomous, highly optimized knowledge bases start strategizing and negotiating with each other at the speed of light?
That is a wild frontier. When the two brilliant consultants with perfect memories sit down and negotiate without us in the room, the dynamics of business change entirely. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, keep exploring, and we'll catch you next time.